afternoon and welcome to another edition of Rural Routes. I'm Trent Luce. This is the program where we address the issues between rural and urban America. Rural Route is brought to us by Alltech Health and Performance through Nutrition, gearing up for an April 23rd through the 26th symposium. Get more information on the World Wide Web at www.alltech.com. Erica Nelson has joined us before here on Rural Route, and we talked about her trip, upcoming trip at that time to Washington, D.C., and promised her we would have her back to talk about how that went and how we are connecting rural and urban America. You might remember she's from Lucas, Kansas, has a website and a mission, World's Largest Things. Welcome back, Erica.
Well, thank you, Trent.
You are fresh off of a trip to Washington, D.C., is that correct?
It's just entering the stale part, but it got back a couple weeks ago. But brought up some really great issues that, once again, we need to keep addressing.
Well, you know, that might be important, but what I would rather talk about is at what point a trip turns from fresh to stale?
I no longer remember how stiff my back was.
And why was your back stiff?
Well, you drive through the night, it's a lot of driving, hours and hours on the road, and I think once the healing process is complete, that's when the trip starts getting stale. Seems a little counterintuitive, but...
Boy, I'll tell you what, that must mean all of my trips are still fresh. I've got a kink in my neck that I need to get fixed, and I fly far too often. That possibly could contribute to my stress. But you
drove to DC. I tend to drive because I drive an art car, and that just means that the vehicle that I drive reflects the things that I study. It's a little odd, a little quirky, but that's sort of my daily way of getting my message out there and getting people to stop and look at the interesting things around them.
Which, by the way, is the criteria in which you must meet to join us on Rural Route to be odd and quirky.
Oh, good. Very good.
You know, as a refresher course, just tell us a little bit more about that road mobile billboard you drive around the country.
I did realize we didn't get the full title on last time. I drive around the country seeking out roadside monuments that are billed as world's largest things. Like there's a world's largest 8-ball water tower in Tipton, Missouri. There's a world's largest ball of twine in Cocker City, Kansas. I drive to these things, photograph them, make a little tiny version of that thing, and add it to my traveling roadside attraction. And the full title is The World's Largest Collection of the World's Smallest Versions of the World's Largest Things, Traveling Roadside Attraction and Museum.
Three more times, say that.
The world's largest collection of the world's smallest versions of the world's largest things, traveling roadside attraction and museum. The world's largest collection of the world's smallest versions of the world's largest things, traveling roadside attraction and museum. The world's largest collection of the world's smallest versions of the world's largest things, traveling roadside attraction and museum.
Okay. You can accomplish that. That's quite impressive, Erica. Good grief. Hey, where are the world's largest mules?
I haven't seen a set of those yet. Monument idea.
It is a monument idea. I did get a set of mules in Dickinson County. Larry Longnecker's father, Preston Longnecker, made me a set of mules, 7 and 11 replicas of the real ones, which are outside eating hay as we speak. Mm-hmm. And that made me think of you, actually, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on today, was kind of bring us up to date on those little bitty things in life that tell big stories. Tell us more about your trip to D.C. Why were you there again?
I was at a conference called the National Coalition for Organized Resistance. It was a lot of activists who their main point was promoting social change. And I had talked to one of the organizers on an art car trip through Nebraska last year along Route 6. And she was intrigued by what I study, which are these roadside monuments, and how these rural communities are using them to get people to stop, take a look, and experience their part of the community. So they had me come out to give an hour-long workshop on these roadside monuments and how you can, in your daily life, sort of promote the ideas that you have by some of those offbeat things like driving an art car or driving a mobile museum.
You know, I've thought about putting a sign on the side of my pickup as I travel around the country, Erica Nelson. It says loose tails, but I'm afraid I would get egged.
You don't actually get all that much negative reaction when you're driving a whimsical vehicle. You get 90% smiles, and the 10% of people who are either intimidated by or scared of or offended by an art car just pointedly don't look at you.
You know what I think? I would think my first thought if I saw you driving down the road is there's a girl making a political statement. Stay as far away from her as you possibly can because she's got a message she wants to convert you to.
Well, and that's where if you have a sense of humor, if you have a sense of whimsy, and put it in a context that people are familiar with, the small truck is decorated with toys and dinosaurs that are sort of melting down into a bed of tar, like a big tar pit, and big diesel trucks that are carrying the gasoline tanker trucks and little tiny gas pumps. So, yes, there is a political message there, but it's put forth to people in an accessible way. They don't feel threatened by it. And I only know that because I drive around in it all the time. And when I come back to the car, there are notes from people. There are messages. There's a little flower stuck under my windshield wipers saying, "Oh, would you park in front of my house next?" Or, "I love your car. It made my day." And I think it just goes on that old adage of you catch more ants with sugar than with vinegar.
Two things that I was going to ask you about last time. You were not aware of the Buffalo Bill Monument south of on Highway 83.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, it's lost me. Have you been there yet?
Still haven't been there yet, but I'm hoping to go by there on my way down to Texas to Houston's Art Car Show in May.
Okay. And the second one is, do you know where the world's largest dairy cow is?
Let's see, Salem Sioux?
Salem Susie, that's right.
Salem, North Dakota. There's also
Salem,
the world's
yes.
largest talking cow in Nellsville, Wisconsin.
Really? How did you know about Salem Susie? Have you been to New Salem?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a replica of her in my bus.
No kidding.
Yeah, there are over 300 world's largest things in the U.S. alone. I've probably been to 150 or so, and I have replicas of about 70 of them. And I don't make the replica until I've seen the thing for myself.
Oh, that's a great story in itself. Do you have a picture of each one of those replicas on your website?
I have a picture of the actual thing.
Right.
Most of the replicas you see by coming to see my mobile museum wherever I may be. And I usually have a tour schedule posted online, too.
If you'd like to get a better visual of Erica Nelson's mobile thing, mobile billboard, worldslargestthings.com, there's a picture there front and center. Erica, you sent me an email saying, resulting from the interactions with activists, their reactions to a girl from Kansas, we could substitute rural Kansas for there,
mm-hmm.
who does not fit the stereotype of inner D.C. neighborhoods. Tell me more about that experience.
Well, there were three key reactions that I got during this trip. The first one was in Kentucky when I stopped to ask directions to a building shaped like a goose. It was built in the 1930s. And I had a conversation with a man in a wheelchair about what I look for and why. And we talked a bit and finally said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Well, I'm from Kansas." He went, "Kansas? Oh, I was there once. And I swear the road narrowed down to a pencil point and went on and on and on, and it gave me the willies. I've never seen that much space." I thought, well, I'm sorry that was a negative experience for you, but for me that just means there's endless possibilities here. In Washington, D.C., in driving the art car, I would get notes asking, "Would you park in front of my house next?" And in repeated daily interactions with people along one street in D.C., I found out that they have just as strong a sense of community as a rural setting does. And the only difference really is the space that we're occupying. We have elbow room here. We enjoy having large expanses of properties to roam around on. If you consolidate that down into one street in a metro area, it is the same sense of community. So I'm trying to figure out ways to get that across on both sides so that rural folks aren't intimidated by cities. It's just a small town that's all bunched together with a bunch of other small towns, and vice versa. And in dealing with activists, it was a positive experience in that I think they're open and looking for answers, but a lot of people already have their minds made up as to what those answers are. And when we would get in conversations or almost bordering on arguments of, oh, do you eat meat? Well, yes, I do. Why do you eat meat? You know, that's cruel to animals. It's like, well, we're a food production society. You can choose to not eat meat or eat meat if you want to, but I personally can't live without bacon. And when you give me a postcard that has a kitten and a pig on the front of it and say, which do you pet and which do you eat, I take that very literally and go, well, you know, that pig tastes pretty good.
When you talk about the activist, and I'll leave the... I had a pretty good quip there for the pig and the cat, but I'll leave that alone.
Uh-huh.
When you talk about activists in D.C., Erica, what's the cause most of these people are most active in?
There was a wide range, which is also nice to see that opportunity. A lot, the overriding factor was struggling for social justice. So a lot of these people were... some of them were fighting for recognition of inner-city neighborhoods. Sometimes they're just left out there to fend on their own, and it's very much like the rural struggle of just, hey, we're out here. We do need social programs just like everybody else, and sometimes the inner-city folks have to say the same thing in the same way that we're dealing with, so trying to get a partnership there. Other ones were talking about fair trade practices in imports, especially coffee and coffee workers. That was a big one that was repeated. There were still some women's issues that people were trying to raise awareness of different women's issues in different countries and still our own of getting access for females for help that they might need in traumatic situations. So it was a wide range, and I felt very glad to be included in that because it showed that they were also willing to open up the diversity of voices.
Erica Nelson is our guest here today. She has a website, worldslargestthings.com. You might want to check that out and look at her mobile billboard. I'm calling that the wrong name, Erica. You can straighten me out. When we come back here on Rural Route, when we continue to visit on how we can be better activists promoting rural America. I'm Scott Lewis, program Rural Route. We'll be back right after this break.
The fellows at Santa Fe Ag Services wonder if you have ever seen a hill with only one slope. They haven't. Do you think the cattle prices will stay high? They doubt it. Call Pete, Todd, or Don at 800-875-6191 and ask them to visit with you about protecting your livelihood in cattle.
Good afternoon. It's time to take another look at the tri-state forecast here on KFRM. For tonight in Nebraska, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Lows around 20 in the north to the upper 20s in the south. For Wednesday, partly cloudy, highs around 40 in the north to the lower 60s in the south. And for Thursday, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-30s to mid-40s in the east and then the lower 40s to lower 50s in the west. Lows in the 20s to lower 30s in the east and 15 to 25 in western Nebraska. Oklahoma weather for tonight, mostly clear, lows in the upper 20s in the panhandle to the mid-40s in the southeast. For Wednesday, breezy, partly cloudy, warmer with highs mainly in the 60s. And Thursday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning, highs mainly in the 60s, lows from the 30s in the west to near 50 in the southeast. Kansas weather for tonight, clear, low from the middle 20s in the northwest to around 40 in the southeast. Wednesday, partly cloudy, windy and warm, highs from the middle 60s in the northeast to the lower 70s in the southwest. And for Wednesday night in Kansas, partly cloudy, lows from the middle 20s in the northwest to the middle 40s in the southeast. Across the state of Kansas, the forecasted highs are Concordia, sunny, 60, Great Bend, sunny, 61, Russell, sunny, 61, Salina, sunny, 62, Colby, sunny, 55, Goodland, sunny, 53, In Dodge City, sunny 62. That's been with your tri-state forecast for 550 AM KFRN, the voice of the plains. I'm Kara James.
Always need to be careful. Careful. That producer, Kara James, she'll speak up on you and say, hey, you're on the air. We are on the air on a program called Roll Route. Erica Nelson is my guest. She straightened me out on the break. It's a mobile museum, the world's largest things, and she is an entrepreneur. I don't care if it's a business sense or not, Erica. I just applaud you for your initiative to travel around this country on two-lane roads, meeting people, truly seeing rural America. We can't see rural America if you drive down these super highways. You've got to get off on the highways like Highway 24 and go from coast to coast and meet the people along the way. And by the way, I thought of it while we're on the break. I can't believe Oakley, Kansas, I had this mind block, but Buffalo Bill and the Buffalo, Killing the Buffalo, is just north of Oakley, Kansas on Highway 83.
And close to the world's largest prairie dog.
Which would be a good question, why Buffalo Bill isn't shooting a prairie dog instead of that buffalo.
Well, I don't know that prairie dogs make that great of a monument.
Well, they've got a monument.
I think people mostly associate those with broken legs on livestock.
Yes, broken legs and bubonic plague and all of the other diseases those rodents bring about on mankind, and yet we have people that value the rodent above people and humans and families. That's probably another topic for another day, for another group of activists, huh, Eric?
Well, and I think that's where this cross-communication needs to happen, and that was one of the major brainstorms coming back from D.C., was starting some sort of, instead of international exchange program, an intranational exchange program. Because the people I talked to were thinking about Kansas as this exotic foreign locale, and we live in the same United States. I was thinking, well, if we really could, at the high school level, do a one-year exchange of high school students, rural to urban, so that you really do get a sense of, no, this is what it takes to produce your food, and vice versa. The rural people would learn that the sense of community exists in those metro areas, and there are inner workings there that, yeah, you see it on pictures, but how do you actually react to somebody with a pierced eyebrow?
And that's the exact thought that I had when you said you were driving around D.C. and you had communities that were in awe of this concept that you were putting together. Because I'll be honest, as I think about D.C., and I've been there maybe 10 times, so I've got a little bit of experience, but I think of D.C. as a very transient community. People in, people out, and they never really think of it as home, and yet that's the image that you created for me as you talk about driving through the community and people wanted to hire you to sit in front of their house.
Yeah. The street that my host family lived on, there are people there who had never left that street, just like there are some people in a small town who have never left that small town. They know each other. There is a wide range of social class, too, from contractors coming in and working on one block at a time to the homeless guy who sleeps at the end. But everybody knows him. Everybody kind of looks out for him because he's harmless. He just doesn't have a home. And people going door to door and being able to walk in and out of each other's houses in that neighborhood just as you would here.
Now, you did not include this in your statement of what the gentleman said to you in Kentucky, but as I travel around the country, and if you mention Kansas, and I've never lived in Kansas, but obviously I have strong ties to Kansas, talk about Kansas a lot in my travels, there's one thing that always comes up when you mention the state of Kansas.
Yellow Brick Road?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time, and I'm thinking about that when you have a young girl traveling the country, a young girl from Kansas. I'm assuming you get called Dorothy more than you get called Erica.
It only comes up every once in a while, I think, because when they meet me initially, they have no idea where I'm from or what I'm doing. I'm talking to them about rural communities. And it's usually a secondary question of, oh, where are you from? And I say Kansas. And you can see the mental stutter that causes. It's just I was talking to a yoga instructor on the street in D.C., and he said, well, I was expecting to see a California license plate with a Berkeley sticker, but I looked and it was a Kansas tag, which has a buffalo on it. I've never met anyone from Kansas. And his next question was, I have no idea where this was in his head, but he said, do you meditate? And I just thought, well, you know, in a way, if you're living in a rural area and drive around these back roads, yeah, in a way I do. It's just, I don't call it that. I call it driving around and thinking. So
Are you native to Lucas, Kansas? Hmm? Did you grow up in Lucas, Kansas?
No, I grew up in a town in Missouri, in the Ozarks, California, Missouri.
California, Missouri?
Yes.
I've been there. Next to Tipton.
Yeah, right beside Tipton. And that's why I thought every town had some sort of world's largest thing, like the Tipton 8-Ball, so that you knew you were close to home. And it wasn't until I grew up and started driving around on my own that I realized, no, these are unique monuments. And that sort of fed that drive to see more and more towns that erect this kind of thing.
So why have you stayed in rural America, Erica, and why have you developed the mission to educate rural and urban America about the opportunities that exist if we communicate?
Because I wanted the best of both worlds. I wanted to live on a farm 10 minutes from a metropolitan downtown. And because of advances in technology, in essence, you can do that. You can be connected to the world from anywhere you want to be. And I really enjoy the sense of community that you have to have in rural communities. And the more that I was visiting them, the more I couldn't stand the thought that somebody from a metropolitan area feels alienated in these small towns and vice versa. And the more I traveled, the more I kept talking to people, and I thought, okay, I just need to create a catalyst for people to be able to come up to me and start talking about whatever things they want to talk about. So I've been doing that through Art Cars.
Hmm. Are you familiar with Bruce Vincent?
Not by name.
He is a logger, a fourth generation logger from Libby, Montana. Very good friend of mine and actually a mentor in many ways in what I do today. But he has a program called Provider Pals, and he does exactly what you described with the exchange of students from D.C. I believe he has now 14 different cities, and I was with him once in Manhattan, New York, in an eighth grade school. We had a logger, a miner, a farmer, a rancher, and people got to meet not only them but their kids, and it was a tremendous exchange. And then each summer, he will bring kids from those schools to Libby, Montana, to Cody, Wyoming, and experience what it is that they've gone into the school and talked about. ProviderPals.com has all of that information. But you're really reiterating here today that it's vitally important that we put more emphasis and support behind programs like that so that we can alleviate all of these perceptions of what's really happening in rural or in urban America and enter more dialogue. Hands-on.
Yeah.
And hands-on experiences can't be exchanged for anything.
I had that written in my notes, too, of lots of, you've said this before, lots of information, not much knowledge. You have pictures of people in urban areas in your head, but have you actually met them and talked to them? That's where change happens, when you get off your butt and do something, which I think should be a part of every major conference. If you ever go to a conference, I think the last session you go to should be the, this is how you affect change now. Get out your phone and call your legislator now.
And I want to follow up and finish with that. We've got about 3 minutes left, Erica. I speak around the country, talk about the importance of rural people getting more vocal and active and telling our urban counterparts who we are and what it is that we do, producing the essentials of life. And it's easy to have people fired up that day. But the ongoing torch carrying is where we really run into challenges. How do you see that taking place where we have a call to action tomorrow, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now?
I was in part of the proposal that I'm working on for this other fellowship. My idea was a sort of online virtual chamber of commerce where It is a group that checks in on each other every week or so, every month or so, saying, okay, these were the goals that you set out. Have you done them? And it would be a mutually supportive way of sort of keeping tabs on the next guy of, okay, this is what your idea was, and these were your action plans. Have you done them? And through that repeated asking of, okay, what have you really done, getting that into their heads that you can't just talk about it, you have to do it, mutually reinforced through a community of thinkers and action-oriented people. That includes everybody. You don't have to be a professor to affect change in your neighborhood, in your community.
You just need to share your own experiences. Far too often we lose sight of the fact that we are expert in our own experiences, and yet we fail to recognize that.
Yeah, everybody has value because you all come to it from a different perspective, a different background, and there's common ground on every step of the way.
If I speak to a group of 200, there will be two women who will actually pick up the torch and carry it. I'm thinking of Amy Cederstrom in Goodland, Kansas, perfect example. I wish I knew a way to find the recipe to get more people who are willing to do something tomorrow and check in on one another. Can we actually make that happen? I mean, that sounds like a great idea. Have you got any success stories of it happening?
This is so simple. Yahoo groups. There are people who form Yahoo groups all the time, and I don't see why that's not an option. I think just daily checking in on some central location, maybe there's a rural route Yahoo group of, hey, this is my project, just letting you know what it is, and more power to you in your project, and, oh, that looks interesting. I think I know somebody who might be able to help you.
All right, here's our challenge, Erica, you and I. This is a great idea. Rural Route Yahoo group is something that we should make happen. Let's put our own money where our mouth is. You and I will continue to carry the torch and not say that was a good idea, but it died that day. Let's do something about it tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll be in touch.
That sounds great.
Erica Nelson, worldslargestthings.com is her website. You can see that mobile museum, which I'm sure soon will have Buffalo Bill from Oakley, Kansas on it. That'll do it for another journey down the road, connecting rural and urban America for my guest, Erica Nelson, my producer, Kara James. I'm Sat Luce, reminding you that all roads do lead to a rural route.